following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. In fact, it's a beautiful Saturday morning. A little warm. But right here on the First Coast, you are either a summer person or you're not, and if you are, wowie. Anyway, it's 10 o'clock and this is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And I hope you can stick with us for an hour or so, and we're going to talk about a whole bunch of things today, mostly good. That's always encouraging. But I want to thank everybody for joining in. If you're a regular, thank you so much. We live to please, you know. And if you're just driving by or someone's told you about the show or listening for the first time, welcome. See if you can stick around for the hour. And maybe we'll all learn something. It helps us learn if you just pick up the phone and dial 222-8255. That's 904-222-TALK. Because then we get to talk about what you would like to talk about. And again, I remind people that there are no dumb questions. Trust me, if you don't know something, there are a lot of people listening who also don't know that same something, and they can learn from it. So get a phone in your hand and give us a call. The rules of the show are very simple. Callers go to the head of the line, period. End of discussion. So we will have a trivia question today. I've got a lot of topics I want to cover. But one of the main things we want to cover is Adam's specialty. And it's really hard if you're either an investor or an advisor to keep the smile off your face these days, as new records are constantly being set, it seems. And then we'll talk a little bit about why everybody is so negative, even though all this positive stuff is going on, and see if we can't convince you to just relax a little bit and enjoy this for as long as it lasts. So by the middle of the week, things were looking really good. It didn't end that badly, and all in all, things are good, right?
Yeah. On Wednesday, that we saw all three indexes break all-time highs for their close. And after that, they kind of drifted a little bit at the end of the week, but not terribly. Still ended up with a really nice week. The Dow was just off a little bit at 0.03%, basically flat. The S&P actually gained 0.5%, but the NASDAQ, which has just had an incredible run this year, was up 0.5%. The ETF QQQ that tracks the 100 biggest stocks in the NASDAQ has been one of the best investments this year. It's up over 4.5% this month and over 22% year to date. So if you didn't own QQQ at the beginning of the year, I'm sorry. But
you didn't say don't buy.
No, I mean.
But you didn't say buy either.
No, typically this is, I think I spoke about it last week. Chasing profits, not necessarily the best time to buy after a big run-up like that in a short period of time. So,
well, and that's not to say there aren't bargains out there, too. There's some,
absolutely.
There's been a lot of sector rotation going on, and some of the things that were in favor aren't. Some of the things that weren't in favor now are. I think you can still diversify your way into some more gains this year.
Yeah, in fact, the sectors that pushed higher this week included the usual suspects, technology, healthcare. They've been really good this year. But added to that this week were utilities and telecom. Now, utilities have had a good year for utilities. They're up significantly, I think around 10%, but they hadn't been in favor recently.
No, and they got a little overheated last year.
They did. And then telecom has been an absolute dog this year, second worst performing sector in the S&P. But it actually had a really nice week, so that was refreshing to see something bump up that hasn't been doing well. Energy, on the other hand, was a little bit down this week, but had a nice week last week. So it's showing a little bit of signs of optimism. It really is going to depend on this oil supply. We've been saying it for quite a while now, but we just can't seem to get that supply number down.
Yeah, oil had a nice rise going on all week long, and then yesterday gave a bunch of it back.
Exactly. Thursday was a really good day for oil, though. So because we're in a new quarter that started in July, the second quarter earnings are now coming out, and there was some very positive news in that regard. If you have listened to the show for a while, you will know that this doesn't surprise us. We have been saying watch out for this earnings season for a while now. We both think that it's going to be quite good. So far, the earnings beat rate stands at a very solid 65%, which if the season ended today, would be the best rate we have seen since 2010.
It does tend to drift historically.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. Okay, but it's a good start no matter how you look at it.
There's no guarantee that it will drift, though. It could go higher.
No, it could.
But traditionally, it does seem to
surprises abound this year.
Exactly. The really good news, though, is on the revenue side, where the beat rate stands at 67.1%. Last quarter was strong at over 60%, but this one looks like it might even beat it. Continued sales growth is one of the key factors that we believe will sustain the current bull market. So, as Dad mentioned earlier, there is more reason for optimism out there. And if this number holds, I think that's a big one.
That is a biggie. It's what we've been needing. Ever since we started the show over 2 years ago, we've been complaining that the problem with earnings is not the bottom line. Corporations are pretty good at creating a bottom line, even though it might take some creative accounting to do so.
Well, not even necessarily that.
It's stock buybacks, things like that.
Well, also, you know, productivity increases. Yeah. They do less with more people or more product out of less people. So very efficient when things are bad. Yeah. They trim all the fat. It's actually good for corporations to go through a cycle like that because they do get rid of a lot of overhead that isn't necessarily needed. And so I think now you're seeing the fruits of that labor.
Absolutely.
So
but you can't drive this market ever higher without increasing your top line.
Absolutely, I agree.
We've been creating consumers, as
healthy
we've been
consumers.
Talking about. Yes, yep. And people who have jobs and are pretty sure they're not going to lose them, which I guess would have said they had a stellar week also based on the number of first-time unemployment claims.
Well, and there's something else that I want to get to about that as well. But yeah, you're right. Some of the biggest movers so far have been Netflix, which crushed its estimates, and the stock shot up over 13% that day on earnings day. But on the other side was The Tile Shop, a company I'm not familiar with. It had a pretty bad miss and dropped almost 26% on earnings day. But that is why the majority of our investments go into ETFs, because they don't tend to have 26% down days.
That's correct.
The economic news has been getting better in a sense this week. The data had been looking a little bleak relative to expectations over the last couple of months. Now, whether that was a fault with the actual data or the economists doing the forecast, we've been kind of bantering that back and forth for a while now. But because the data hasn't been that bad, but it's continued to miss expectations. So
I think the expectations have been missing the data.
I tend to agree.
Remember the movie Wag the Dog?
No.
You should watch it sometime. Okay. Everybody out there, find it. Alan agrees with me, too. That Wag the Dog was done in the 90s, and it was really about the Clinton administration, but it's really about how crazy politics is. Dustin Hoffman plays the mover and shaker, and if you haven't seen it, folks, you've really got to see this one. This is what it reminds me of.
So the other thing I wanted to mention was the housing data. It was kind of mixed this month. Home builder sentiment declined across all major categories, and it was especially weak in the South and the Midwest. The South is kind of surprising. However, the housing starts bounced back from a weak May, with even better news was that the growth was all in the single family category, which really points to a healthy consumer, because people don't buy single family homes unless they're feeling really good about their personal situation.
I wrote down a word next to the housing sector on my notes for today. It says schizo.
Yeah, and I heard some of Angela and Howard's shows, and the numbers sounded great as far as the local housing market.
And interest rates are down, and everything says now is the great time, including the numbers about what did it. So why are people so down in the dumps about it? We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. All right, when we get back, we'll have the trivia question. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the trivia question this week brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. Call Ken at 636-7888 and call us at 222-8255. No question too trivial, as they say. All right. Wanted to mention one more thing in the market wrap, that bullish sentiment remains very low, historically low. Where it has been for the last 3,000 Dow points we've put on.
Which sounds counterintuitive, but that's not atypical.
No, it's a good sign, actually. It's a bullish sign that bullish sentiment is low.
Which makes no sense, but it's true.
Half of this job is understanding the real definition of being a contrarian.
The thing is, if you actually study the market right now, you'll see that there is so much about it that is that people are bullish, but for some reason this
hate
indicator, they hate it. Exactly.
And I think it has a lot to do with the political season and just the constant drumbeat.
24-hour news cycle.
Yeah, corporate this and corporate that. If you just eliminate all that noise out there. I have a classic example right here. Here's a headline. Retire at 45 with $500,000. Is it possible? No. Why is that even a headline? I'll tell you about that, but not right now.
Okay.
Anyway, back to business. You want to tell the folks a little bit about us and what we do and how to get hold of us?
Sure. We are fee-only financial planners. We are located out in Jacksonville Beach, but we're right off of Butler Boulevard, so easy to get to from all points in the city. If you ever want to come and see us, it's very easy. There are a couple of ways to do it. One is to call our office. We can always be reached at 904-685-1505. Or if you don't want to make a phone call, the really easy way to do it is to just go online, vanweefinancial.com. Right on our webpage, there is a button that says book a meeting. If you click that, it will show you our open slots and you can schedule something, come in. Our first meeting is always is an hour. It's always free. We don't charge anything for it. It's simply a determination if there is any way that we would like to do business together. If there is, great. We can move on from there. If not, don't worry. No salesman will call. We will hopefully just give you some good advice and send you on our way. And you're free to call on the show and get your free advice at any time. So we hope to see you in the office soon.
And we do a lot more than just investing money for people or advising people how to invest their own. True comprehensive financial planning includes a lot of different areas. And unlike your typical salesman or brokers, we work with you to understand your entire financial life and to help you better understand how to navigate through all the pitfalls and the bad advice and all of the headlines and so on. And that reminds me of a little something that I put together called Common Knowledge and Wisdom Are Often Wrong. Have you ever considered how much of what we know really is wrong? Over the years, everybody remembers proclamations that were later rejected. You know, eggs have too much cholesterol and salt is bad for you, only to be contradicted several years later. In fact, we're all to the point where we hear something that sounds a little outlandish and we're automatically skeptical, as we should be. A healthy dose of skepticism goes a long ways. In fact, there are very few things, of any consequence anyway, that are truly black and white. It's especially true in politics, investing, and even in science. Is global warming caused by people? Better yet, maybe, is there actually global warming? Absolutely reasonable people can disagree on those topics and many more. Investing seems to be particularly an area where agreement is hard to find. Think of the term bull and bear. There's even a TV show that you are supposed to record, not watch, because it goes on across from the show. But in every episode of anything that has to do with bulls and bears, there are people on both sides of the issue, and I don't care what the issue is, a stock, a market sector, the political aspects of it, taxes, whatever it is, there are always bulls and there are always bears. Well, it doesn't sound like a great way to get good advice to me, but it is the world that we live in, and you have to decide who and what you're going to listen to. In fact, one of the primary reasons that we do this radio show every week is that we try to filter through a lot of this stuff and give you what is granted, a lot of our own opinions, but also a great deal of factual information also. There are some things that are just inherently true and others that are inherently opinions. The practice of financial advising is as varied as to the people who do it as it is on the topics and the conclusions. It's very important to remember that many of the people you listen to are selling something. And it's very important to understand that we are not selling anything except our shining personalities, wonderful educations, background, and hopefully future successes that match the past. There are a lot of non-fiduciary advisors out there. Fiduciary is merely someone who has to place the client's interest ahead of his or her own. It is the way we have always done business gladly. It is the way that the administration is trying very hard to get other people to adhere to. But every time we get somewhere with this thing, somebody puts together a proposal to eliminate it or change it. The biggest reason they give is a bunch of hooey. They say it's going to prevent smaller investors from getting good advice. And I say, no, it's not. It's going to stop small investors from getting bad advice. If you go to a fiduciary who is not selling you anything and you don't have, quote, enough money, if you go to somebody like us, we're not kicking you out in that first hour because you're not wealthy enough for us. We'll tell you exactly what we think. We'll tell you exactly what we think you should do. You can take it or leave it, but we will always leave you more knowledgeable than you were. Well, there's a lot of gray area in terms of compensation of advisors also. We are fee only. We're members of NAPFA, which is the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors, and their one codicil of doing business is that they are absolutely fee-only or they're not a member of NAPFA. So if you want to find a good fee-only advisor, that's a good place to go. You can also go to the Certified Financial Board and ask them by zip code, find me somebody. So when you're looking around and you're thinking of talking to somebody, think about using a fee-only certified financial planner. After all, you want your accountant to be certified, certified public accountant. Why wouldn't you want your advisor to be certified? And when you come to us, we have a few little things that separate us from everybody else. First, we're a father-son team. We do everything together. We're both well-educated with technical undergrad degrees and have MBAs, and we're both certified financial planners. So when you come to us, you're going to get a very, very diversified look at the world we live in from a couple of different perspectives age-wise. But we're all going to the same place. So you can get dumb ideas all over the place, or you can get smart ideas in some places. The reason that people should listen to this show every week is that we'll try to have a common thread that runs through it, and that thread will be about how do you separate the truth from all this junk you hear 24/7, all the junk you read 24/7. So one thing we know for sure, one of the fundamental truths of life is that more knowledge is better than less knowledge. You can get some of it here. I always wonder when people are going to a commission-based salesperson, do the salespeople really believe what they're doing? They really believe it's the best thing for you? Or are they really just after your money?
I think it depends on the one that you're visiting. I think there are guys out there.
Yep.
I really believe that, but not all of them are good either.
Nope.
We've seen it.
Right. I remember back in the 80s when I had bought out a company from a couple of older guys, and one of them was talking about the other one day, and he said, yeah, he's just a fantastic salesman. He could sell an icebox to an Eskimo. And that was the greatest compliment this guy thought he could give the salesman in his life. And I thought about it for a while and said, I don't think that's a compliment. It says he's skilled, but it doesn't make him a good salesman. Would a good salesman sell something to you that you don't need? In my opinion, the best salespeople are the people who understand your need and fill it. Not they understand their inventory that they're trying to get rid of and push it off on you. So it's something to think about when you're dealing with someone who is not a fiduciary. And by the way, you know how to find out if somebody's a fiduciary?
Yep, you ask them because they'll be happy to tell you.
They absolutely will. And if they hem and haw or waffle in any way, shape, or form, I promise you, you're dealing with someone who would like to get their hand in your pocket in the form of a commission. So again, give us a call at the show. You can come and see us. But know that when you're talking to us, you're talking to fee-only fiduciary financial advisors, the only kind you should ever use. There, enough shameless self-promotion for one day.
All right, I like it.
Topics after the break. In-service withdrawals. You know what those are? I want to talk more about the, can you really retire at 45 with $500,000?
Sure, you can.
And that is the answer. But and then I will also tell you that headline drafters are not always the same people who write the information.
Yeah.
This one, I found out through a thorough double reading, was a little bit misleading.
I bet you could waste that entire $500,000 in those 20 years just on health care insurance.
Health care and or insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could exactly. Also eat if
health
you wanted
insurance.
To.
Sorry, I said that wrong. I've been confused by all the bad headlines recently.
Yeah, I think we mentioned that last week.
Yep.
They were saying health care, 32 million people will lose their health care. No, they won't. They'll lose their health insurance.
Yep.
But then they'll buy it back because they can afford it. Another topic. Yeah, well. Anyway, we're going to have to take another break. And when we come back, we'll still have the trivia question and a whole bunch of topics. Give us a call. Lines are open. 222-TALK. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the trivia question today, which I inconveniently forgot to bring up last time, so I better remind you again, it's brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. This one should be easy to get because it has such limited answers. What day of the week has been the strongest in the market for the year 2017 to date?
And I'll give you a hint. It is not Saturday or Sunday.
Wow, you just cut it down from 7 to 5.
Exactly.
So you got a 20% chance of winning this one. What's been the best day in the market for this year? Also, this segment sponsored by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794. I promise you things are growing faster than you want to keep up with. I know. I look out my window. Wow. Looks like a hayfield going on. Anyway, you wanted to talk to the folks about a little something?
Yeah, we had briefly touched on the topic of the DOL fiduciary rule prior to the break.
Yeah.
And we had a really interesting meeting in the office this week, or at least I found it interesting for one particular reason.
By the way, the best stories are real life stories.
Exactly.
And this is one.
We had a couple come in to meet with us for the first time, and they were a client of another type of financial advisor or so-called financial advisor. I'm not going to name the company, but it is a company that you could probably find in a strip mall near you. And they were not pleased with what their portfolio had done for the last few years.
And a simple analysis showed us why.
Yeah, I did. I plugged it into our software and it was lagging the market by a good amount. The thing that really was the tipping point for them, though, was that the guy had quoted them $1,000 a year to do to handle their finances, which, okay, they agreed to that. Well, thank you to the new DOL fiduciary rule, he was now required to disclose everything that he was making from them. And a lot of what he had were very expensive A shares, which are a type of mutual fund that pays the advisor, but it's not disclosed to the client. So now he had to disclose all of that, and it turns out that this couple was actually paying their advisor four times what he had said they were paying him. Needless to say, he seemed very embarrassed by this conversation, was not very eager to have it.
Should be.
And yeah, so that's the first time we've actually heard about the fiduciary rule making someone be more transparent. Now, we do business the opposite way. We always tell you what we're going to charge you. We send you, anytime we bill a client, we send them a piece of paper that says, this is how much was billed. You can go onto your Schwab account and see every transaction, so including the billing. It just seems that that's the way business should be done. If you're charging someone money, they should know about it.
Yeah, And the strangest thing is the guy's overall charges are not out of line.
They really weren't. That's the funny thing.
And you should be proud of it.
Yeah. If you're doing a good job, there's no problem with you making a good living off of doing what you're supposed to do.
And then all you got to do is do it, show results. How many times have I looked somebody in the eye and said, I'm not cheap. Neither is Adam.
No,
we're not. We come at a price.
Absolutely.
And you, it's up to you day to day. You sign a contract with us, and that contract merely says that we're allowed to do business with you for as long as you want that contract to be in effect. All you have to do to terminate it is tell us, and just like that, it's done.
Yep, exactly. So the onus is on us to prove that we're worth what we charge, but we think we are, and we hope that we provide enough value to our clients, and so far we have.
If you're not comfortable with what you're doing in front of clients or behind their back, then I'd say they need a new advisor.
I agree. And it was just interesting to see. We haven't actually seen any effects of the DOL rule until this week. So really interesting to see.
And a similar thing, not a specific example, but if you deal with a brokerage firm in what they call a wrap fee, they'll charge you 1% of your account balance. And you are left with the impression, again, that this is what you're paying. It is not exactly right in that the broker has the obligation to the firm to do enough trading in your account to generate trading fees for the firm that at least equal what they're paying out to him. And if he wants a bonus, it has to be more yet. And if he wants to keep his job, it has to be significant. So you know there's activity going on in there, but you don't know why that activity is there.
That wasn't the case in this particular case, does happen very frequently at some of the wirehouses.
Yes, and I have seen the most remarkable things come into our office. People will bring statements and pages and pages and pages of statements, and there'll be pages of transactions, little ones, sold one of these, bought two of these, back and forth. And I shake my head and wonder, what in the heck is going on here? This is a craziest thing I have ever witnessed. And you know, it ceases now after 16 years in this business, it ceases to amaze me. But for a long time, I was completely flummoxed. But hey, we digress perhaps. I want to tell you another real life story. We have friends in South Florida, and they are pretty much fed up with South Florida. That's not the story, but it's certainly an understandable part. So they're moving. They're going to move to Georgia. Now, moving to a new state is always a little bit more difficult than moving within your state because everybody you deal with has to be licensed somewhere. So they had a couple of interesting experiences that are seemingly unrelated, but not exactly unrelated. They were also looking for a new car, and they like Cadillacs. So they went to Costco, and they went into the Costco car program, and they found the exact car they wanted for a bunch less money than they would have paid at the dealership. And then they went over to the dealership to get the car, and it says, oh, Costco plant, boom, here it is, sign the papers, leave. Costco doesn't have that arrangement 24/7 with all car makes. They have a period of time every year where they're featuring something. It happened that they were featuring Cadillac when this transaction was going on, and it was flawless and easy. Well, they also inquired about Costco's mortgage program. And through Costco, they bought a home in quite a ways north up in Georgia, which is hundreds and hundreds of miles from where they live now. And they got it all set and got it mortgaged, and everything was done through Costco in advance. And it was easy and it was cheap. Now, I don't know. There's a lot of people who don't like Costco. I'll bring that up right now because it's got a reputation as being owned by a bunch of liberals and operated by a bunch of liberals. The guy who was the founder of Costco was indeed a real, honest-to-goodness liberal. He has now retired, and quite frankly, there are times when you better realize that that's not what's important in this life. What's important is what kind of business is he running? If you've ever done business with Costco, and I have ever since the one opened out of a Butler, Sarah and I make it a point to get to talk to the people who work there. We have never found anyone who had any thought of ever leaving the company. This is the only place they want to work. They love their employees. The employees love the store, and we do too. Like everything else, you got to know what you're buying. Sam Walton didn't get to be the richest man in America at one time by giving everything away, and Costco doesn't get where it is by giving everything away either. So you got to be a little bit careful. But you usually think of those big box stores like that as a place where you pull up the truck and load a bunch of goods and merchandise into the back of it and take it home and save a bunch of money. Well, their service end, I have frankly never dealt with, and I was listening intently when Sarah was talking to these folks the other day, and they just couldn't say enough good. And by the way, they're staunch conservatives, but they could not say enough good things about dealing with Costco, especially in a fairly complicated transaction like mortgaging a house in a different state. So just a little something if you're looking around and you haven't gotten a mortgage program put together, or if you're looking for a new car, check them out. Who knows? Yeah. And I get nothing from them. Trust me, this endorsement is brought to you by my own experience and nothing else.
I tried to do that, and they didn't have the car I wanted, so it doesn't always work.
No, it doesn't.
But there's another website called TrueCar that can actually do something very similar for you. So if you are in the market for a car, check those out before you go to the dealership.
And as Angela and Howard were saying in the show right before us, for those of you who are listening, mortgage rates have ticked down again. 30-year mortgages are now back under 4%. Boy, if you're looking for a house anytime in the near future, I'd be on it right away. This can't last forever. I've been saying that a long time, but in that time, it's been sneaking up half a point, three quarters of a point. And believe me, every tenth of a point when you're talking about a 30-year mortgage is a lot of money over your life. So just some food for thought there. We've got some more things to discuss after the break. 222 Talk, lines are open. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the first rule of the show, callers go to the head of the line. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Great. How are you?
Doing fine.
What's up today?
I always thought your trivia question, always understood Friday to be the traditionally best day of the market. I'm guessing this year is probably different.
Well, I might argue your logic a little bit, in that we traditionally think of it as the worst of, and this goes back a few years now, the worst day of the week because everybody's afraid. In fact, Adam's going to talk about fear here in a minute, but everybody's so afraid of the market they don't want to hold things over the weekend. But in 2017, the best day of the week so far has been Friday. You nailed it.
Lucky guess.
Yeah, well, well, I don't know if it's lucky or good. I'd rather be a lot of lucky than a lot of good, if all things being equal. But yes, you're absolutely right. And my trivia questions always want to have a point. And my point this year is people aren't afraid to hold over a weekend this year, which to me says that the sentiment among investors is actually pretty strong, despite some of the bullish numbers being low. So that's why I asked it. I'm glad you won it. Well, do you have anything else you want to ask, or I'll put you on hold and we'll get your address?
I'll go on hold. Thank you, guys.
Well, thank you. I do like the whole concept of Friday being a good day. And even if you look in the past, you see a taper that starts about 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon. It usually goes right downhill to the close. And that just hasn't been the case this year. In fact, the markets close very strong on Friday afternoons over and over. That makes me very happy.
Yeah, it actually happened yesterday, even though it was negative. Mm-hmm. It had been down, I think the Dow was down at least 100 points at some point during the day, and it closed down about 36, mm-hmm. So it made a nice little rally at the close.
Yep. Less loss is almost as good as some gain.
Yeah, in many cases.
Mm-hmm. All right, there are many mistakes made by investors every year, and there's a few of them that are kind of universally true among novices especially, but not even all that. Ed was going to tell you about a few of them.
Yeah, I want to talk about some big mistakes, not little mistakes. These things are the type that will affect your lifestyle in retirement, or how you pay for your kids' college, or even something like the style or the location of the house that you can afford. These are big mistakes. The biggest one being not starting young enough. When is young enough, you might ask? Well, since you can't control time, today is the only logical answer to that question. You can't go back and start when you were 21.
Darn it.
So yeah, I wish. So get started now. I promise you that 20 years from now, you will never regret putting that money away for the future. The optimal age to begin investing is always as young as possible. Time in the market controls much more of your investment returns than trying to time your investments. If you start saving when you're 20, with all else being equal, you will almost certainly have more money when you retire than if you start saving when you're 30 or 40. The second one is kind of related, trying to time the market. We say it at least once a week on the show, but let me remind you, you can't time the market. The guy on TV that says he can do it can't do it either. You can't even guess if the market will be up or down tomorrow without relying completely on luck. I've never heard a positive story from anyone that started out, "I sold out and went to cash." Have you? Even if they sell out and the market drops, they never buy back in time and end up missing most of the recovery. Plus, they miss out on months or years of dividends and end up behind anyways. So don't do it. Don't time the market. You can't do it. The third is not saving enough of your income. How much is enough, you might ask? Well, that depends on what you're trying to achieve. Let's say you are a 40-year-old and want to have $1 million when you retire in 25 years. With your risk profile, you're targeting a 7% return for that time. How much do you need to save per month? $500? $800? $1,000? Nope. You'd need to save $1,270 per month to have $1 million with those in that scenario. Any less than that, and you probably won't hit your target. Any more than that, and you will have a better chance of meeting your goal. Of course, that $1 million will give you about $40,000 per year in retirement income, which may not be enough to meet your spending goals. This is why a good goal-based plan is the best way to determine how much to save per month. Number four is being afraid. As asset managers, we know that most people are afraid of the value of their investments dropping way more than they should be. Who can blame them? Between the 24-hour news cycle reminding you that everything can go wrong in the world, and the fact that we all lived through 2008, fear is a big driver of our decisions these days. Well, the news is just trying to get more viewers, clicks, and advertisers, and the simple fact is that to find another drop like 2008, you have to go back almost 80 years to the Great Depression. These things don't happen that often. 10% corrections happen frequently, but they rarely lead to anything more. Taking more risk can boost your return, and if your time horizon is more than 5 years, you can probably afford to take more risk than you think. But talk to your financial advisor before making any change like this. Number five is thinking of your retirement as a date. Many people go their whole lives thinking about their own retirement as a date on the calendar. You might have circled it, and back in the old days when we used paper calendars. After the day they retire, life is totally different. Well, we hope that your retirement is exactly like you planned it out to be, and if you're lucky, it will last more than one day. In fact, your retirement should last you 20 years or more, and your money has to last that long too. That means that even in retirement, your time horizon for much of your money is more than 5 years. So don't switch your portfolio to a bunch of bonds yielding 1% and call it a day the day you retire. Go see your advisor and figure out a 20 to 30 year plan for your retirement. That is such a common mistake, to think of your retirement as a day on the calendar, but it's not. It's such a long time period, especially with people living longer.
Yeah, and a lot of people will come to us when they're fixing to retire, thinking about it, and they'll say, well, when should I change my asset allocation? And my answer to that would be, when you're sure you have less than 5 years left in your life. Because if you've got 5 years or more and your asset allocation is working for you and got you to the point of retiring, why are you going to change it? You're going to be around for another 20 or 30.
Yeah. And the thing is, yes, you want to take out 5 years of what you're going to take out to live on. That you don't want sitting in a stock fund.
No, you put it in a bond ladder or something like that, so it's ready for you. And every given year, you've got X amount of money coming to you that's very reliable.
But hopefully that's not 100% of your portfolio. Otherwise, you need to keep working, because 5 years isn't enough to fund a retirement.
What's dumber than starting to invest late?
Gosh, never investing at all.
That's one thing. But how about this one? Stopping investing too early. Which brings me to this.
Or emptying out your 401k to do something.
Yeah, that too. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Investopedia, but it's an excellent website. If there's something, some term you need explained or something like that, go there, investopedia.com. It's wonderful.
They actually have a really cool new feature, too, where you can ask an advisor. You ask a question, and advisors from all over the country will answer it for you.
Cool. Well, that's where I got this article. Retire at 45 with $500,000. Is it possible? And it hit me very poorly when I read the headline. I thought, oh, come on, people. You're selling snake oil to young people here. Until I realized that what they're really doing in here is debunking that myth. By the 4% rule, and the 4% rule is kind of an industry standard for how much can I withdraw from my investments every year on a sustainable basis. If you've got $500,000, that means your income is going to be $20,000 a year. Now, if you retire and you're 45 years old, what have you not done? You have not accrued a pension. You have not accrued a significant Social Security payment. You have stopped your day-to-day income. And instead, in the big scheme of things, your life is divided into two parts, accumulation and distribution. The date Adam was talking about, the retirement date, is when you switch from accumulation to distribution. Distribution has to last you for the rest of your life. And you don't know how long it's going to be. But you can control accumulation by how long you're willing to work. So if you stop and switch over that hump and go to distribution and you're 45 years old, lasting the rest of a 45-year-old's life is an impossible task for most people to conceive of, and especially us. And when you've only got $500,000, which would only produce $20,000 a year in income, the conclusion of this is, yes, you certainly can. You can retire when you're 45 if you have $500,000, and then you can go broke and sit around and mope while everybody's having fun except you. Don't do it. In fact, what we're seeing more and more now is that people are working beyond. I'm 67. I have absolutely no plans to do anything other than what I'm doing right now. And it's partly because it's fun. If you don't like what you're doing, fine, pick a retirement date and do something else.
And people wanting to retire at 62, the biggest thing stopping them? Health insurance.
Health insurance. And
every time
is not being helped by the U.S. Senate right now, is it?
No, certainly not.
Well, all right, we got to go. Darn, another week goes by just that quickly. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll come back and talk to us again next week. We will be here. Let's be sure you're here also. And just remember, don't get sold a bunch of pigs in a poke. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.